Welcome back to another episode of NFT Catcher Podcast. We'd like to remind everybody that nothing on the show is meant as financial advice, and to please do your own research. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Now the subject is NFTs.
They're known as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs.
NFTs are exploding in popularity.
This is a technology that will forever change the way people interact.
So it is happening whether you understand it and like it or not.
This phenomenon is moving the digital.
You have now joined Jenny from the blockchain and Michael Keen on the NFT Catcher Podcast.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NFT Catcher Podcast with me, Jenny from the blockchain, and my co-host, Michael Keen. For today's interview, we have Eve joining us. She is the operations lead at Rug Radio and host of the We Are So Back podcast. We, as in W3, spelled W3, in honor of Web3. Eve, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, we're pumped to have you on. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Very, very happy. I love it. And I love the intro. So cool. Love the music. puts the vibes on.
Nice. Yeah, thank you. We've had that since, I guess, the second episode. Shout out It's Just Los for making that for us.
We would have had it for the first, but Jenny wasn't sure this would last. So
yeah.
Now 211 episodes later, we're still going.
Congrats for the consistency. It's super hard, and like, that's great.
Yeah, you have a podcast. You just started it though recently, right?
Yeah, I'm on episode 18.
Nice.
I'm like super new.
And you did video too though, so that's next level in my opinion. Video.
It is. Well, I'm trying because I think it's fun, but I think the hardest part is like editing for shorts and just keeping having content like out. I'm trying to have one content per day. And sometimes I'm like, how the fuck am I going to do that?
Yeah, that is tough.
Takes a lot of time. We need AI to start making this a little better for us.
It helps. It actually helps.
It definitely helps. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no doubt. So so it's a podcast. You put it out on like Spotify and Apple and all that?
So I was just checking it out. I didn't put it out yet on Spotify and Apple. I put it, the full video is on Twitter. So I made exclusive on Twitter, and I have like a small video recap on YouTube that pushed back on Twitter. Because I think it's like with everything that Elon's working on, I thought it was going to be like something to try. Yeah. And I'm putting out content after on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube shorts, and Twitter too.
I love that. I just, no, you're exactly right. Twitter video is a good place to be because it's so early. And I just turn noties on for We Are So Back so I could check out your next episodes as they come.
Yeah. It's the week. So I'm announcing season 2. I think I'm going to drop it. I don't have the exact date. So I'm like a little alpha. I think it's going to be around like the third week of April because I want to change a little bit like the way of interviewing people, like maybe less going into like the beginning of their life because I have been like going from the beginning of how they started into Web3 until where they are now. And I want to go more into like their life right now into Web3, like their jobs and stuff like that. So I'm announcing very soon during this week, the season 2 coming. So yeah,
Alpha Leak.
Yes.
You're here to hear first, folks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's who. What is the name of the, is it Absolutely Nothing or something with
Probably
Nothing. They just, I mean, Banks was like, I never watched this stuff, but I know he was like really famous YouTuber back in the day. And now he's starting back up again, but on Twitter. And I know like the Nub Boys, they're going to be moving to Twitter. Like, I don't know. Everybody seems to be moving to Twitter for video. Yeah. So that's the move.
I mean, I think it's a good way for like, well, we see how impressions work. Sometimes it's normal. Sometimes it's kind of weird. But like, since they're starting pushing everything, like we also saw like all this videos, interviews, like either like people that talks about like politics, people that talks about like just basic news. Everyone's pushing on Twitter, so I think it's the beginning. Maybe it can be good. Maybe we never know how it's going to be. But like, even the quality of the videos are pretty good. Like, we can put until like 1080p. So it's kind of a great video, and it's not taking super long. Like, for example, like a video of my podcast, if I put like 30 to 50 minutes video, it takes like maybe less than 10 minutes to upload. So it's pretty good.
Nice. Yeah, and you can go live on Twitter too. It's still a little weird going live because like, I don't know, like you can't see the comments and I don't know. It's kind of weird, but yeah, live is a thing as well. I haven't seen many people go live on Twitter though, to be fair.
They're starting to now. Oh God. It's starting to push the live to me on my browser. So instead of like, it says like, what's happening now, I'll go there now. What's happening now if I go home? It's all people going, it's, you know, Mario Newfall and who it was like Arbitrum Gaming is going like, and they're showing me all these lives. Mika is always live now on Twitter Spaces. Like, it's just,
yeah, but the that's only Spaces. That's like different.
Right. That is different.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about like broadcasting. Like if we put the full video, like for example, yeah. Like our call. Okay. So I've tried that. I've tried that with the space that we had with Rogue Radio Friends. And it's actually pretty good, but as a listener, it annoys me because like I like to have a space, for example, and I would do some other stuff in the side and then you can just like look at other stuff. But I agree with you. If you're on broadcast and you cannot see, yeah, the comments, you cannot do something else on Twitter, like you have to watch the video. So that's kind of annoying. But after like the video on Spaces, it's kind of fun. I think it's going to be better when other people will be able to put the video too. But it's already a good start, I would say.
Yeah, I also just started seeing that Twitter, you can do like the Spaces, you can do video. That's so crazy.
Yeah, that will be cool. You're right. When everybody on stage can be live on a Twitter space, that will be pretty cool. And then imagine like that for journalism. Where you can have like rogue journalists live or any kind of like, you know, I'm at NFT NYC. What's up, bro? Let's have a stage and talk and like walk around and show people. Like, that's all really cool.
Yeah,
that's true. That's totally true. And we even saw like one of our team member, Chris, was doing that with the creators. So he put out the video on Spaces, but he put out like the same layer as us, for example. So the broadcasting, but on the video Spaces. So you have like everyone that is talking on the small video of the Spaces, but you also have them, the sound on the space. So that is a good way to start it. But still, once everyone's going to be able, it's going to be so cool. But I love it. Yeah, for a journalist, it's so good. IRL event coverage.
Totally. If you didn't know, Elon listens to this podcast, actually. So hopefully he'll take some of these and maybe he's even looking for some help on the consulting side.
Yeah, of course. That is super cool.
Okay. Also, you're operations lead at Rug Radio. And I'm kind of curious on how you got that position. Like what compelled you to start working with Rug Radio? And yeah.
Yeah, of course. So I always wanted to work into Web3. And it kind of started last year, exactly kind of the same time as now, but like last year. I was really looking around, sending a lot of resume, hasn't got anything back from none of the people that I sent. And I was a content creator for Rug Radio Friends. And then Farouk was a lot on Spaces with it. So I was like, well, one day, like, I'd love to be in. One day on Spaces, I was like, well, Farouk, when can I be just, like, joining the team if there's, like, stuff happening and whatever? So I got to meet them at VCon. Last year, exactly. And the thing was, because I'm living in France, so with DAO and stuff like that, I couldn't be working with them. And then after, so they told me that it was not possible for some positions that they had. And then after, in July, they called me back and they told me that they had some other positions open. And so if I was like open to work with them, it would be remote, like for like beyond my, I don't know what's the name in English, like, I invoice for myself, like my own company, instead of like
being your general contractor. You're a contractor.
Yeah. I'm a contractor. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, I'm down. Like, let me just live my job and I'll come. So I started as executive assistant and operation assistant. So this summer, and I just like started, I was half part time until September. And then September I got full time and I was just like doing everything that needs to be done. Either as executive assistant and operation assistant. And then I was like doing, and I actually really love the team. The team is great. It's very fun because we're all from different part of the world. So there's a lot of people like in Europe, some a lot also in the US, like Mexico, Canada, or there's some that travels all the time. So it's very fun to see like how people works. And yeah, I just got to like just do stuff. And like if some stuff were needed to be done, helped on. Also, I used to have like a lot of events planning background. So since Rogue Radio is doing a lot of events like Miami, we did Paris, we're going to do Dubai soon. So I was like, well, I'm down to help too. So it kind of helped. And with all the things that I was able to do, they were like, well, we want you to be like more involved and have like a better positions. Like, what would it be? And I was like, I'm so down. So that is kind of the story. Yeah. But I'm very happy because it's been like less than a year, and like the progress inside the company and the progress even on the company in the industry is very amazing.
That's awesome. That's very exciting. Congrats on your success with that. Okay, wait, Dubai? You guys are throwing an event in Dubai? That's so crazy.
Yeah, we haven't announced it yet, so I cannot say what it is. But
Alpha Leak, let's go.
Yes. So it's going to be at our house, like events as we do in Miami.
Like you
Paris.
Did in Miami, right? Yeah, yeah. Were exactly. You at the Miami? I was at the Miami house.
Yes. I was here the whole week. That was very fun. And I think
that was fun.
A first our house event, it was like one of the biggest one. And I was like, damn, like now we have put the bar so
you high definitely set the bar to- high. You guys set the bar high with that. That place was cool. Everybody was there. It's like the cool thing about Rogue Radio, like it's a place for all the projects to meet and everybody to come together. It's not like it's its own individual. There is a PFP and there is its own thing, but it just invites everybody. And like Farouk's friends with everybody. So I loved it. It was a great vibe. I was there. Yep. And we also probably crossed paths at VCon. If you met them there at Loxley's
apartment,
that Airbnb where everybody was, those legendary parties there. Yeah, absolutely. We were there for that too.
You know, the idea of the art house in Miami actually came from VCon, from that Airbnb.
Really? Yeah.
Because so...
That was epic. So that was epic.
Yeah. Like everyone went there and they were having this Airbnb, like there were like 100 people inside. And the thing was like, even though you have like something at the bar at the end, you're always going to be ending going to the apartment. So we were like, well, okay, let's figure out like something because everyone is coming to our house. And then after we were like, okay, our house, Rogue Radio house, our house. So that's how the name came. And that's also how like the
are
ID
you taking
came.
Credit for are you taking credit for the name?
No, it's not me. Okay. No, it's not me. But it's the team. Like, I mean, it was really like a full teamwork. Like everyone just had to put out some ideas. Like everyone had to work. Like we had such a strong team there that every time there was something needed, everyone was helping. So that was very cool. And it was like also something good because like we are all in different part of the world. So we had like to work together somewhere all at the same place. So that was great.
Nice. We actually spoke to Jen Fascino about a month ago, 6 weeks ago or so about that as well.
Yeah, she helped organize it, right?
Yeah, she was the event coordinator we hired from Miami. Yeah.
She told us she did every single thing, that the Rogue Radio team didn't do anything and that she did every single thing. She did not say that. No, she didn't.
I don't know.
I'm only joking. She did not say that.
I mean, like, all the team was here to work. Like, she did a great job as doing, like, all the coordination and all this stuff. And, like, I mean, like, it was something very big because we were having, like, at the same time, the event, we were having some podcasts going recorded live. We were having, like, some partnerships, like we need to be like putting on screens. We had like some a gallery with all like the art creating, so it was like so many work, but I think it was it was like a teamwork and it was great at the end. It was super good.
That was cool.
Mike, are you gonna go to the Dubai event?
Well, I was actually thinking that, I mean, we should be invited as like a podcast live broadcaster, flown in, you know, business class. I want to ask for first class. Business class, you know, and we could set up and do like a week's worth of content down there. Now, I would love to. Dubai is, I mean, it seems incredible, especially when there's an event like that going on. I would love to. I have to look at flights from Miami. There are directs from Miami these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dubai is going to be nice and interesting because
when is it? I know you can't say what it is, but
So the event of Rogue Radio is going to be on the 17th. I can say the date, but I cannot. We're going to announce it very soon. The interesting stuff in Dubai is that there is Token 2049 and then there is ArtsDAO. So it's two different conferences with two different, very different type of people. And so I was planning going there just for ArtsDAO and then with all the team and stuff. Like they were like, okay, we're doing an event. The only difference we do have is that, for example, only in Miami, we will have a house and rent the house as we did this time for Art Basel. Like, for example, in Paris, we did that in, it was a Web3 hub, which was like kind of in a building. They had like some kind of area for networking and stuff. So we did, it was kind of a vibe of a house, but it was not like a real house. And in Dubai, we'll be announcing the place, the venue. But so it's not going to be a house as Miami, but it's going to be like the same type of events. And it's going to be for one day only. But then after we'll be like just partnering with a lot of other events and everything's going to be announced because we have New York first. So New York's going to be fun too. Are you guys going to be there in New York?
Mm-mm. No, we're not.
Next one I'm doing is Consensus in Austin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's going to be cool.
We've done the last three NYCs and I don't know.
I know, yeah.
Do something different.
It's kind of weird missing it this year.
It sucks missing any of them. It sucks missing Paris.
Yeah.
It sucks missing wherever everyone's going. You know.
It's been kind of quiet though, like about NFT NYC. Like I haven't heard many people like talking about it or hyping it up. So I don't know.
I totally get it. Because like I've never been to New York, so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna go on vacation and was just like looking around like at events and stuff. Like everyone has been telling me, yeah, well, I'm not gonna go to New York this year. And I was like, well, guys, like what the fuck? This is like where everyone's going usually and like where it all starts. So I don't know how it's going to be, if it's going to be good, packed or whatever, but it's true that it's so hard to just follow every conference. Like, even though we all want to see IRL because we're all friends online, but like never see each other outside of events. But like, imagine if you have to go to every single part of the world, like you need to make a fuck ton of money to travel everywhere.
Totally. Especially New York is so expensive.
Oh like, my
it's
God.
It's crazy.
Oh yeah. I didn't thought about that. I was like, oh my God.
Dude, the Ubers alone in New York have gotten to prices that I can't believe what the Ubers cost.
It's crazy. Even the hotels, like
the hotels are ridiculous.
I live in South of France.
Yeah.
I live in South of France, so it's already super expensive. Mm. And I was like, yo, like New York is even like double the price and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Where are you at? Are you on the beach somewhere?
I'm in Cannes.
Oh, like, good for you. Yeah. I'm familiar. Yep.
I was born there, so I just like stayed there for the moment. But
yeah, it's cool. Good for you. Yeah. Hey, I mean, when you're born there, I'm near Miami, and Jenny is somewhere in North America. She's not going to dial it
in. I'm in Texas. I say that I'm in Texas.
That's cool.
Yeah,
Texas is cool. I've been there right before Miami. I went to Austin. It was so cool. I loved it.
Yeah, Austin's cool. It's a cool city.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be my first time in Austin. For Consensus. Never been
there. That's cool.
Yep. Been to San Antonio, but never went up to Austin.
Oh, that's good. Always a good time for going to meet and discover new city.
Heck yeah.
So I did kind of want to talk about like the origin story of Rug Radio, which I know you weren't there from the very beginning, but didn't they kind of just start as like Twitter spaces and like just talking about the latest rug, essentially?
So Farouk is talking a lot on most of the spaces. It's very fun because the way they started, they were hosting spaces on Clubhouse at the beginning. And then they went on Twitter was the trend. And then so Farouk was hosting spaces. I think Mika was part of it, like a lot of like early content creators and like all the people that were like minting Bored Ape. And so what they were saying is that Twitter was rugging them all the time because it was very like, very new, the spaces on Twitter. So they were like being rugged. And so one day Farouk just called it Rug Radio because it was like a radio and they've been rugged like 10 times on one show. So that's how they started. Well, I mean, I was not here, but Farouk said that's how they started. So that's actually pretty fun the way it started. And the name is now like getting on and it's like a classic name.
That's right. I do remember when Twitter Spaces used to always rug, like people would just be talking, all of a sudden Spaces would end, or people, they're like, they wouldn't be able to speak. Like, it'd be, oh, we can't hear you. We see you're unmuted. We can't hear you. Like, yeah, I'm glad it's gotten better, but that's right. That was a good refresh.
Yeah. But even if it's gone better, like sometimes it's getting back worse. Like if you don't get the update of the app, you're just rugged. Like you cannot listen to the people or you cannot talk. One moment you gotta go down the stage. It's like,
yeah,
I feel like it's part of Twitter now.
Right. Just, yeah, it's just part of it.
Hey, leave and come back. We'll invite you back up. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All the time.
Famous last words.
Yeah. True. So I also see you have your Lulu in the, I'm sorry to cut off. Should we keep going by Rug Radio or can I want to move to the Lulu because I am down bad with OD Labs. So in December, Art Basel, they were the talk. You know, everyone was like, OD Labs, amazing, awesome, awesome. So I went and bought one of those FNIC cards, didn't split a 0.1 or whatever. And I totally missed the burn window to get the, I had no idea. And I missed it by like 6 hours and I was like, I know. So I don't have one.
Oh, that's so bad. Because
I
like,
know
yeah,
it's so bad. It's so bad.
They had like a pretty fun way of doing all their campaign stuff because I've been like very supportive of their projects since the beginning. And it kind of really started just like, you know, when they tweet the points, like they have like a way to measure, like whenever you like retweet or whatever, it gives you points. And then so they were having like a leaderboard, and then every week they were giving away like the 13 first person were having like a FNIC airdropped.
Yeah.
So that's how they got. And on their mint, if you were having the FNIC, you would like, if you had like one Lulu that you would mint, would allow you to have two whitelists, and then on this two whitelists, they could mint two, and you would get like 50% back of each mint, which you can literally make your money.
I know.
Back,
but... Thanks for letting me know. I know. I dropped the ball.
Yeah, you really dropped the ball.
I dropped the ball. It's my own fault. It's my own fault for not keeping up on it. I bought it because I knew it. I was like, there's something, and there's only so few of these things. I was like, I almost wanted to buy a whole bunch of them. Imagine how mad I'd be if I did buy a whole bunch of them and then missed it. But
but you can still buy them on on Magic Eden, or they're kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
So are you like an ambassador for them? Because I see they're in your like Twitter bio.
So no, I'm not. But so it was like part of the requirement at the beginning, like if you wanted to be in a group chat and everything. So they were like, okay, put OD Labs in the bio with the little monster. And I was like, well, you know what? I support them a lot because they're all of their team is like super amazing. Like Tetris is like, he's doing everything they do is like handmade. They're doing it themselves, which is either on the tech, either like on every apparel they make, like t-shirt, sweater, everything is made by them. Their events, they just like take something for Miami. They took like somewhere where that was like abandoned and put it up for doing super good events, like paints and stuff like that. So I was like, this is pretty fun and pretty good. And the fact that it makes a kind of mixed reality with everything that you can just put a story and have like a Lulu come to life in front of everything. It was very fun. So I just like, so I support them 100%. I'm also on the moderating team in the Discord, but I haven't been really active because I had like so much work at the moment. But yeah, I am just a full supporter of the team.
Nice. And then also the other thing I wanted to bring up was you say you're Wallet Guard brand ambassador. Did you see Killer Whales?
I haven't. Okay. I haven't because I don't. It's not allowed in France. So
what?
Yes.
You can't stream? Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. So I tried with my VPN and stuff like that and it didn't work. So I'm just waiting for, I'm
getting
to New York.
You're lucky.
Why? It was
Wallet Guard was on there, which was cool.
Wallet Guard's cool. Michael K is awesome. Yeah.
My God. I feel like we completely like, what would be the word for that? We just gave it
eviscerated,
like the worst review.
Eviscerated?
Yeah. We just like completely annihilated Killer Whales. We had a whole episode about how we basically hated it.
Oh my God, I need to
it.
Listen it.
So yeah, I kind of felt bad afterwards, not gonna lie. I was like, oh my God, were we too harsh? But but no, I mean, Anyways,
we were just honest.
I mean, you have to be honest too. Like, I feel like on the way they're trying to put it is kind of like a comedy, whatever stuff. But I don't know. So I'm going to watch it this weekend. When I get to New York, I said, it's like on my list. Just watch, even just like the part of Wally Guard. But
yeah, there's a security. I like that how they like grouped it. There's like a gaming episode, security episode, NFTs episode. So they kind of like split it up nicely.
I think it's, yeah, I'm going to check. But like even the judges and stuff like that, I was like, where the fuck did they got that?
Some of them were like,
I mean, Scaramucci, Andy's boy, yeah. Scaramucci.
Oh yeah. My God. They had to make something like, and I mean, either way, if they got like some other people, I mean, it still makes people talk about it too. Because look, like we're talking about it. Is there a good?
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. It's nice to see the people and some of the people in our community out there. You know, K Money and all that. But
yeah,
did K Money get canceled? By the way, didn't something happen?
Canceled? Anybody see that?
Yeah, they were trying to cancel K Money for something.
Probably.
I have no idea.
Yeah. That's all right. That's a. I digress. Let's go back to what we were talking
about.
That's
like crypto Twitter stuff.
Yeah,
like,
that is. Yeah,
it's just like if you miss one afternoon on crypto Twitter, like just like it's even worse than the Desperate Housewife. You know.
Well,
like,
speaking of one afternoon, so we're recording on March 27th. You guys saw last night probably the exploit, $62 million, Munchables, right, in the Blast ecosystem. That's pretty wild that the money came back.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, this went crazy overnight last night. So. One of the applications on the new Blast L2 is called Munchables, and somebody found an exploit where they took control of $62 million, but there is a way for Pac-Man to bring it back because he controls the bridge, but that would then prove that it's not decentralized. And then Zach XBT came out and like threatened the person who we said was from North Korea in a very not nice way. Zach XBT, like out of character. And
oh my God.
Say, I'm not even going to read what he wrote.
But,
it's wild.
The money got returned today.
The money got returned. Yeah.
Oh, it does? Yeah. Oh my God. That's crazy.
They just like returned it.
They're like, oh, so Zach's.
Is it that Pac-Man did the move?
I think. Well, I think it was an inside job. Like the dev is the one who I think set it up and.
Oh, right. Able, yeah.
I think Werewolf or whatever, someone from North Korea that the person
and apparently the whole
found
dev,
on GitHub.
All the devs were just one person. Like it was just one guy pretending to be multiple people, right?
For the entire. Oh, Munchables. For Munchables, not for Blast.
For Munchables.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Anyway, chaos.
Yeah, Munchables. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not putting my money in anything called Munchables that just launched like 2 days ago.
You know, serious?
I worry about having an ETH and a half in the Blur pool. You know, I'm about to take that out. But I go, I do know. What were you going to say?
Sirius lost he had put in $300,000 into Munchables.
Which
is like so crazy. And yeah, I saw a couple of people that were like, I lost a lot of money. I'm like,
well, the thing is that I think it always goes to the same stuff because like in a way people want to send money because they see some other people making money. Like it's the same stuff with shitcoins. Like we're all like in the stuff like, okay, first I'm not gonna put money, but then when you make money, you're like, okay, if I would have put more, I would have made more. So people just see all these people making more and more and more and more. And the thing is that now was Blast and all the things, they're like, yeah, it might be something secure or whatever, but we even see like Machi and all these people that has like spent their life farming this stuff and that hasn't made like this huge amount of money either. So I don't know, it's weird to see the people like keep falling in the same hole all the time. Like they're putting a lot of money, they are getting hacked, they're putting they're getting hacked. It's like the same. It would be the same type of people that would be like, oh, I clicked on the link. It was like written, drain your wallet. And I said, yes. So,
yeah,
that's weird.
Are you into meme coins?
I'm trying.
Yeah.
It's
what
hard.
Have you,
but I'm
what
trying.
Have you bought? Have you like successfully made money or just kind of?
Did you choose rich?
I didn't. I chose rich, but I didn't invest.
I chose
in rich,
but I didn't choose rich.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I got very lucky to get into the Bone presale, even though I didn't put the amount of money I wanted to put.
So where was the alpha for that one? What tipped you off to know this is one to go for? Did someone say
I didn't know it was one to go for because, to be honest with you, I put $70 on the Presso.
So, wow, okay. Yeah,
like
yeah.
If I knew.
But who, where I did knew, you, but well, you knew at least to give it a shot because somebody said you're like, all right, this sounds like it's got a chance. Like, because I would
well,
like.
I don't know. Well, I don't have like any, I don't really know how to do due diligence on shit coins because it's very hard to know and stuff.
There is no, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really know. I just had like one of my friend just like texting and we talked about it with some different friends.
All right.
And so we were like, well, we can try it, but you never know. And the thing is that, I mean, it could have been Bone, but it could have been one other that I just missed or whatever. I think it was just the fact of like maybe they had great market maker too, but the fact of like how he was doing everything has been like very smooth. That's why it worked very good. But it's kind of like something also exceptional that never, ever happened in crypto. So, but after that, I'm trying the others, but I'm just like trying to get some money, trying to not lose some first and then trying to get some few dollars. But it's not, I think it's been like the meta of shitcoin has been very wrongly made by all the people that launched them because like they're trying to launch it on Solana but they're not even devs, so they don't even know how to do it. They get way too much money now on pre-sales. While you see that before, like even on Boom, the pre-sale amount was like 1 million. And now all these pre-sales, like I see that Match, he just put out like a shit coin. He has already 10 million on.
He is unbelievable, that dude. He just got the AIP money. Just like buying weird apes. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
That all rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I think he's just manipulating things and people love him. Like, you know, he's a good talker too. Like he can make you seem like he's like everything's for the community.
Yeah, but even though like I feel like people are just going back at it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people want to cancel him, they could. They just have to don't do it and whatever and don't send money. But people think they're missing something, so they're doing it.
Well, that's exactly what it is. They want to make money. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to because, like, they tried with all these NFTs. They took out this. They dropped the other token before and all this stuff. So we never know how it's gonna work. But at least, like, I mean, the guy is still here. He's living his best life. Like launching another coin. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean that 11 million from the AIP just started with him buying stuff. Is it gonna go?
That's like, crazy, right?
Isn't it crazy? And all the AIPs to get shot down. This guy gets $11 million because he's going to buy a bunch of apes and put them in museums. And then he like overpaid for apes. Didn't he like pay like way extra for a gold one? I think Jenny has a fire alarm, but she looks like she's chomping at the bit to talk. She's a fire alarm going off. That one is going to age very poorly, in my opinion. I don't think anyone's going to look back and be like, I'm glad we voted that one through. And he had like a lot of the votes at that point to like make it go through. That's such a sham. Sorry.
That's so weird. I mean, so the fact that he's overpaying, you know what? I would say it's kind of nice for the Bored Ape community because they're very down bad. So,
well,
I mean, that could be good, but in a way, like he said that he would buy them from the floor or something like that on the AIP. So I don't really know. I haven't followed a lot, but I don't know. I mean, if he's trying to put them on museum with the money he got, he better get some good rarity traits and stuff like that.
Well, of course. Yeah. You don't want to put floor ones with like a bonnet and crazy eyes.
Yeah. But I don't see the points of having a Bored Ape in a museum, to be honest. Like, it's
not at this point. Not at this point. Sorry. We're back. That's all right. You're good.
She's bad. The fire alarm was like so annoying because I could like kind of hear you guys, but then this blaring fire alarm going off in the background.
That's hilarious.
So thank God that's over.
That's nice. Cool. But yeah, I mean, like, I mean, it's
yeah. The Bored Ape doesn't need to be in a museum right now. It's not. It's a relevant cultural thing. Like right now, it's not a historic piece of art.
Well, the thing is that it's always the same questions because it's going to be like which collection is going to be the one that people wants to be the reference. But the thing is that we always see like the punks, which okay, but then like are do you really want people to know and to be like, okay, an NFT is always only worth minimum like $200,000. So it's weird. I mean, I would have been more happy or for whatever, but if he would put like some real art, digital art in museum instead of just apes, but maybe it's his way of doing
it. He said he's going to do some of the digital, other digital art stuff as well.
Okay.
Which I'm sure he'll probably overpay for fidenzas and squiggles. Yeah. And, you know what I mean? Like,
he's the exit liquidity.
Yes. I mean, if you're the one selling it, you're happy. And
well, who's the one selling it? Maybe it's and this is completely alleged, but maybe it's an alt wallet of his that he had sitting around waiting for a way to get paid extra on it.
Could be.
That's true. Tax losses, whatever.
Yeah.
Not losses. Yeah. That's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
allegedly.
Weird.
I don't know. I don't have any evidence that that's the case. I don't have any evidence that that is the case.
Of course. But yeah, I think it's like, it's actually very fun. Well, fun and interesting the way two different bull run are acting, because like, I mean, I don't even know if we're in a bull run. I don't read chart, so I cannot confirm. But like, we're kind of like, with Bitcoin has like a special price, everything's, we're pretty good right now. Seeing the bull run 2 or 3 years ago and now, the way of people acting, everything is so different. It has changed so much. Like the NFTs, it's not the same. Like, it's so, so weird. So we're going to see how it goes.
Yes.
Do you think that the NFT projects will reach new all-time highs, or do you think that they'll never live up to their, you know, 2021 all-time highs? Like, I don't know, Doodles at almost 20 ETH and Bored Apes, I don't even know what they got to, like 120 ETH or something.
Yeah,
something
it was crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. I think we're going to see some new all-time highs, but I think the usual project, like, for example, Bored Apes, Doodles, or, like, all the existing one, will have to show something. Because, like, we see already, like, the apes. What I always say about the apes is, like, it's nice. It's very cool. The problem is that they have been over-delivered in such a short amount of time that now the holders are expecting something new all the time. So that's why they're just like always like, hey, where's that? Pump my bag. But the thing is that you cannot like deliver like a game in like 6 months and put everything together. So I think it's, we're just seeing the real the real effort of the project. If they're doing like everything they said they would, like either, which is like on, look at Pudgy Penguins. They got their all time high not a long time ago. And they're just cooking and doing stuff and taking their times and stuff like that. So I think the project that really work and really does stuff for their community and with what they've been promising and everything are going to maybe reach some new all-time highs. Maybe not, but maybe yes. And the other one that has been like promising during the last bull run but doesn't do anything more, maybe we'll just be back at like a reasonable. Yeah, I don't know if it's a name in English, but like a normal price. For buying it, which with what they have like delivered and with what they can deliver. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, obviously we all hope that things reach new all-time highs, but
yeah.
You know, it did get so crazy. So, and especially if ETH, you know, gets to like 10,000 or something, it's like that would kind of be really even
crazy.
Way more insane. Yeah. So, Go ahead, Michael.
No, I'm sorry. That's okay. Now you make great points there, and reasonable is the English way to say that. You're right there. But like we talk about that a lot. Like, so what is it that would drive value? So let's talk about the doodles, for instance, just as because Jenny and I both have doodles. We love the doodles. It's cool. It's great stuff.
Oh, you like, still have yours?
Let's go. Yeah, I wrote it back down.
Right.
I don't love doing that, but I did. So doodles, the company crushing it. Doesn't necessarily drive value to the NFT. You hope it does. You hope they become more collectible. You hope that they do things wherever they build that you get to go for free and there's enough of it that there's enough demand to make it. But it's already, you know, $5,000, which is very expensive for a club membership. Very, very expensive. And so like what I've seen a lot of the ones that pop off in the last 3 months have just been because they're getting tokens dropped. You know, like that seems that's to be true. Why, like Pudgy Penguins went to 20 ETH because there were rumors that there was a token coming, you know, and when that kind of died down, it's back down to 13 ETH. A lot of them went really high. Like what's going, like Redacted, Romelio, like who cares about that one? But that's like a 3 ETH floor because they're getting tokens and stuff. You know, it's like, I don't know. So that it's just, how are these, like everything you said was exactly right, but how are they, and you say like when they deliver for their community, like what each one I guess has to come up, but what are they actually going to deliver? Is it experiences or is it a $200 watch that doesn't show up that Jenny just bought and didn't get?
No way.
They did the G-Shock collab and it was like, I guess they needed to see my ID or something like in order for me to get it. And I wasn't home when they tried to deliver it. So then, she's like this whole thing, but I'm like, just drop it off. It's not that much. Like it's not like $10,000 or something, you know, it's just $200 watch. But, anyway.
Yeah. I think it's hard with the project to really know the value because I don't think, in my opinion, we've seen like a project that could like tell you the real value of like the NFT is going with, because it's kind of like people want in with what people want, what people are able to sell and everything. But it's very hard to define like the real value of an NFT following up like on the value that is delivered at the same time. Like it's even art. Like I am really not into art, so I cannot even like talk about that. But it's very like when you see like sometimes you have some projects, as you were saying, like the Romelio, like the Milady, all this stuff, they can go up. And then after, like one day after, they're just like going back down. And then like this project, it's Ordinals. Look at the Bitcoin Puppets, like the absurd price of that for what they're saying, Peace World, whatever.
Isn't that your PFP or is that a derivative?
No, it's a derivative. Okay, I wish it was.
I wish you had a Bitcoin Puppet. That's funny.
I faded it, but... But I mean, like, it's true. Like, what is a reasonable price for that? Imagine, like, you pay Porn 3 for an NFT that is, like, looking drawn by a kid and stuff like that, while you have, like, some NFTs on the side that, like, gives you some more stuff, IRL, or even, like, as we can talk about V Friends or all these stuff like that. And the value is really not the same. So I think it's very hard to define the value.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes there's just no rhyme or reason. It's just what people happen to like, you know, the flavor of the month or what they decide. It's just like, yeah, sometimes there truly is no rhyme or reason. Just things will just...
Vibes.
Take off. Yeah, vibes, I guess.
Yeah, vibes. I don't even know if it's what it is or... Yeah, imagine, like, I'm shocked by the price of Bitcoin Puppets. I tell it every day to every single member of my team because I'm also, like, super annoyed that I faded it. And I'm like, I'm shocked because it's, like, so ugly, but it's so cute in a time. And after, like, with the others, it can be like this, too. Like,
it's like $20,000 for one, right? Right now? Yes.
Yeah. Over, yeah.
That's crazy.
Even more, yeah.
They get cuter as the price goes up.
Yeah, don't you know?
Well, I think if you hold it, it's getting really cute.
Yeah, yeah, if you have one, that is a cute NFT.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's very hard. But I guess maybe we'll figure out one day, and we'll know. But I don't know. It's actually pretty fun.
It is fun because it's so volatile. Like we're in such a crazy, you know, volatile market. Like that is. That's what makes it fun. And if you can't stomach the ups and downs, then this is not the place for you, folks, because it can get pretty wild, especially during the bull. So
100%. Yeah. And it's actually pretty fun to talk about like these kinds of NFTs and JPEGs online, because like the mainstream public now is starting to listen to it back, to hear it back because of the price of Bitcoin and stuff like that. It's always super fun. Like, to talk about that with people and show them like JPEGs and tell them the price amount.
Right. This is worth this much. What?
Yeah.
Why? Don't ask questions. We don't know.
One day we'll know.
Yeah. Okay. So should we go into Gas Wars?
I think that's a great idea.
All right, let's do it. So Gas Wars is our rapid fire question segment. We're going to ask you 5 rapid fire questions each that may or may not have to do with, they don't have to do with NFTs. So just getting to know you a little bit better.
Okay, cool. Let's go.
All right, let's see. I'll go first here. Let's see. What is your dream country to visit?
Dream country to visit? I would say Japan.
Oh, why Japan?
Because of the snow and all like the ski resort they have there.
You know about the snow monkeys that hang out in the hot tubs and like the natural hot pools?
What?
You got to look them up. When you go to Japan in the north, you just look up Japan snow monkeys. You can go hang out with these monkeys and they're just chilling in the hot springs. Look them up. It's insane. You got to go there. Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay. I'll note that.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, snow monkeys in Japan. They're so cool. They can be aggressive, but they're very cool.
Okay. I'll look at that.
Check it out.
I need to go there to plan that one day.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What is your what's your prized possession?
What do you mean?
Like your favorite thing that you have, be it a collectible or something from your grandmother or like your favorite thing.
I would say my dog.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a little Pomeranian. I'm going to take her. She's just right here.
Nice.
Sorry. I just found a picture of a snow monkey. In.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, so cute.
It's like a little.
So fluffy.
Yeah. A little bear. Oh, yeah.
She's about to be 16.
Oh, so cute.
Completely deaf. But she's very sweet. What's up,
yeah, Peter? I love dogs.
Yeah.
I think my dog. Yeah,
I actually woke her up, and now she's like, "What is going on?"
She's like, "Why did you wake me?"
Yeah, that was. Sorry, Peachy. It was for the podcast.
It was important.
I know.
Yeah.
Poor girl. Go back to bed.
So let's see. I'm up. What was the first job that you ever had?
Working in a boundary. A bakery.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. This is the right name, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
How do you say bakery in French?
Boulangerie.
Boulangerie.
I said it in French first, and I was like,
I know. I was like, what's that?
It's actually a shame, though, because the French are not known for having any kind of good baked goods or anything. Very poor pastries and baked goods.
He's lying. He's always lying. Most of the
She's
time,
looking at me like, what are you talking
really
about?
Saying that?
From coming from America, he's saying that, right?
Yeah, America, like just the worst
Paris,
food.
It was so fun. Everyone was like, oh, I'm going to get a baguette. And I was like, what? Like, you're just happy because you're going to get some
bread?
And you're like, yes. Okay.
That's hilarious.
No.
Sorry. Okay. Who is your favorite stand-up comic or favorite comedy movie? What type of comedy are you into?
Oh, my God. So favorite stand-up comic would be a French guy called, it's called Redouane Bougueraba. He's like a French guy from South of France.
Okay.
Doing like such amazing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And comedy movie, it's a French TV show that they made, which is like they have a room with, I think, 10 great comedian, and they have to do everything to make everyone laugh. And the first time they laugh, they have like a first warning. Second time they get like canceled.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The last one needs to stay. So that would be, I think, my favorite one.
Love it.
Oh my God, now I want to watch like some French comedy show.
I'll send you. Yeah.
Okay. Where did my question go? Oh yeah. What do you typically eat for breakfast?
Eggs and bacon.
Eggs and bacon. Like every day or like just every day?
I'm trying because it's otherwise it's so many bullshit during the day and like I need to
Right.
I need to do it well.
Start
like
it off
an American.
Right. What is one valuable failure you have had? Sometime that you've failed in life, but it's come back and you're like, that's a really good learning experience.
Well, that's a good question. So I would say being only on jobs or is it like even in like
whatever, whatever you want, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe like being too made too much work for one job for literally mm-hmm. nothing without anything in return for a few years, but it has came back better because when I left this job, I found Rogue Radio and just like everything's getting so much better.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. You put a lot of work in, you learned a lot, but it didn't come to fruition. It kind of didn't work out, but it lent into something else. Yeah. I love it. Yep. Cool.
Do you dream in English?
No, I don't.
You usually always dream in French.
In French. You know what? That's something very fun. The team of Rogue Radio is making fun of me all the time because I count in French. So whenever I'm on a call, like speaking in English, I'm going to count in French. Yeah, exactly.
Keep going, Jenny. Keep going.
Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful.
It's 19, 20.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even, I kind of skipped there, but I took 2 years of French and that's what I retained. So.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
And I remember my French teacher was like, how you know that you're like really good at, you know, the second language that you're learning is if you're dreaming in that language. Like if you start dreaming in French, that's how you know you're like really fluent. And I'm like, oh my God, I never thought about like dreams. Yes, of course my dreams are in English, right? Like I never think about them being in a different language, but
I didn't know that. I mean, the thing is that on dreams, like most of the time you don't remember most of them. So I'm like,
right.
It's true, but I don't think I have ever dreamt in English.
It's so funny to think about. All right, Michael.
It's my turn. And oh, no, I just asked that one, didn't I? Oh, no, you asked, did you dream? Was your question, did you dream? Oh, okay, cool. I thought that was a continuation. What's the weirdest thing you ever ate?
Oh my God. It was in Australia when I was super young. It was kangaroo.
Mm-hmm.
Kangaroo. Oh.
Yeah. And probably, I was like, I didn't know it was
cook
that.
Cook it right. Little barbecue.
Yeah. I didn't know it was that. And it was like my cousins made me eat it because they wanted me to eat it and they just hide it. And after I had to go like in the bin looking at the like sticker and be like, fuck.
I just ate kangaroo.
Yeah.
No, not the little kangaroos. All right. What is your favorite vacation that you've been on and where did you go?
I would say Mexico.
Where at?
So I did it twice, but I think the preferred one when I did Mexico City. I went to Cancun, Tulum, and Acapulco.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah, I've been to the Cancun, Tulum, that whole Chichen Itza area, and also Mexico City. It's awesome. Amazing country.
I love this country so much. Even though sometimes it's kind of like scary and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, the people are so good too.
Yeah, absolutely. This country's scary too. The country I'm in.
Yeah, the one I'm in too.
Yeah, right. I know. So, if you're on, if you're in the border area, sure, it can definitely be very dangerous if you're like in the drug controlled. But yeah, no, it's awesome. Love Mexico City. Loved everything about it. That was Jenny's last question. My last question is, what is one piece of advice you'd give your younger self?
Try to do what you want and even do it because it can happen and it can like really make you, well, you can really get what you want by just doing it and be consistent to stuff and just keep being consistent on doing what you want instead of just like trying to attach of what you would be like, maybe, oh, it would be good, my parent would be happy. Well, maybe it's better to do something you like instead of just like being trying to make the people happy.
It gets great. If you're young, go out and figure out what you love to do and find a way to make money doing it. Absolutely, I love that.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Whoa, we don't ask that.
We're the same age.
Yes. We're all the same age. Yes, we're all the same age. Yeah, 28.
When's your birthday? What month?
December 29.
Okay. If it would have been July, we would have all had July. July 1st.
That's good. And you?
Yeah.
I'm July 23rd, 1996, just like you guys.
But it is.
He's looking at me like you're an old 28.
Michael's like 1945 or something like that, right?
Yeah, 47.
Yeah.
I was born in 1979.
There we go. That's cool. Summer birthdays are the best. Like, I was so frustrated when I was younger to be like born next to Christmas.
I always feel for the people born close to Christmas. I'm like, ooh, that sucks, because it's like, your presents.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're like 6 months, like halfway in the year.
Yeah, this is perfectly in the middle. Like,
this is
perfect. There's nothing better than July. Yeah,
imagine just like going out and during the summer is so cool. You can do a lot of stuff like during the winter, except like motivating people to do a birthday during the winter. Oh my god.
That's funny. Cool. Well, thank you, Eve, for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. Appreciate you
Thanks
for coming on the show.
Guys. Yeah. That's so cool. You guys need to come on my show now.
we would love to.
Yeah. Send us a message. I need to follow. I need to follow on X. You don't follow me.
Okay.
It's messed up. No.
Michael always calls people out that don't follow him back.
Okay.
Fine. I'll follow you back.
Okay. So you can unfollow me later.
Don't even worry about it.
Of course.
I did that one time with somebody that I like didn't really vibe with, and I followed them in the moment, and then I unfollowed them because I was like, like, I actually don't like this person. And then they called me out.
Oh my
god. And I was so embarrassed. Like, the next day I saw them again.
You made the right decision.
Me. I was like, oh my god, like, awkward.
I don't know, it must have been a glitch.
I was like, oh my god, like, sometimes Twitter does that. So embarrassing, just the worst. So anyway,
that is so fun. But you guys should like look around. Have you ever like been talking about like for becoming content creator with Rug Radio and having like your podcast featured on Rug Radio?
I mean, we haven't really thought about it. We kind of like just doing our own thing.
We like to be independent for the most part. We have fun. It's like a hobby. But I mean, who knows? You know, $1 million-a-year contract kind of thing.
I mean, we don't do contracts.
No, I'm only joking.
I know, but like, I mean, just like, for example, for my podcast, what I do is just like I use the platform of Rug Radio for having like more reach on it. And it's not like you're not at Rug Radio, for example. Like, it's not your content is owned by you. Rug Radio owns nothing. They just like help you distribute it.
That's probably a good idea, honestly.
You never know.
Good idea.
Cool. A pleasure. It was nice to meet you. And next time, that we're at these events, I'll know who you are and we can say hello.
Yes, we will. That is so cool. Yep. And I will send you a message for getting on my podcast. Can't wait for it.
Yay. All right. Sweet. Well, thank you all for tuning in to this episode of the NFT Catcher podcast. We will catch you in the next one. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the NFT Catcher podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new about the exciting world of NFTs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you really love what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite platform. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news and insights from the NFT space, be sure to follow us on all the socials at NFT Catcher Pod. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer_Pseudo and Michael at NFTicket. I'm your producer, Andy, and I'm at AJC254. Our theme song's by It's Just Los. We always appreciate your feedback and support, which helps us reach more people and bring you informative and engaging content about NFTs. We look forward to bringing you more great NFT content in future episodes. Thanks for listening. Peace.